This path of awakening that the Buddha taught is sometimes talked about as having three aspects. Can you hear okay? Is it okay? Is this better? So this path is sometimes talked about as having three aspects. It's talked about in many different ways, but this is traditionally a very simple and essential way that it's talked about. The three aspects being the foundation of the path, which is sila, which means an ethical base, to have a relationship with ourselves, each other, and the world that's based on a internal orientation of conscience. In Buddhism is called hiri and otapa. These are faculties of conscience to feel, be sensitive to the effect of our actions, our intentions, and within our relationships, within the field of relationship. And why this is important as a foundation, not only is it important for supporting cohesion within the society, it's said that these factors of conscience, hiri otapa, are like guardians, guardians of the world. When that faculty of conscience isn't operating, then it leads to a breakdown of that cohesion and chaos, as we see from time to time. But it's also important for meditation, as internally these factors of living well, with integrity, with conscience, little by little supports the internal cohesion, psychological cohesion, and supports a base of well-being for ourselves and for our lives. The Buddha said when we live with ethics, when we live in a way that we reduce the harm that we cause to ourselves and others, then it's offering a gift of freedom from fear and freedom from oppression to ourselves and to others. So internally the mind is not oppressed, it's not driven and fraught by fear, it's able to relax. One's not dealing with a lot of residue from living in a chaotic way. Gradually the mind's energy can gather and then it begins to support this second faculty of the path, which is what we're dealing with primarily in this retreat, which is called samadhi, or sometimes translated as concentration, which is a too narrow maybe a translation, but it means more a gathering of the energies of body, mind and heart within awareness, or bringing attentiveness and awareness to the fullness of our experience as being within a body, having feelings and having a mental aspect. Gathering these energies, calming, stilling, focusing. Focusing the mind within the present. This is the activity of samadhi. And we'll be beginning to develop this more consciously today in our meditation. As the mind becomes more focused, as the energies of the heart and body are gathered, is there's a certain steadiness that mind, when it turns to explore the nature of reality, the nature of consciousness, it sees directly. It sees intuitively. It sees the causes, for example, of what leads to suffering and how to overcome it. So this is the third factor of the path, which is panya or prajna, which means wisdom and insight. The insight that liberates the heart from unnecessary suffering and stress. And this, the Buddha said, was the heartward, the heart of the practice. To know and to mature the heart, the citta, heart-mind, so that it can recognize its innate, unshakable reality, and that we actually realize that and bring that to fruition more and more fully. So today, this morning, we'll begin by really exploring and cultivating this middle aspect of the path, of the samadhi, the gatheredness, the meditation. It's what we're doing here. This whole structure supporting this activity of gatheredness. The samadhi is, this gatheredness is supported by various factors. The primary one being this factor of what's called sati, which in English is translated as mindfulness, but you could also translate as heartfulness, bodyfulness, heart, mind and body filled with presence, with awareness, with this innate quality of an awareness that has within it this buddhi, this wakefulness, this knowingness that can reflect on our experience. In the teaching of mindfulness, the moments of mindfulness, moments of being here, as they gather, as they accumulate, then it automatically brings about this samadhi, this gatheredness. It's a bit like if you plant the right seeds and then you cultivate the soil, then the plant grows organically. In a certain way, if you put the right conditions in place, then the samadhi and the insight grows organically. So this is why in the Buddhist approach, rather than thinking so much about what is awakening, what is enlightenment, what is it to be peaceful, and having ideas, it's actually a path of practice to actually begin to practice the activity of the path. As I said last night, one of the teachings from the suttas is that the activity of the path in and of itself begins to break up that which obstructs our ability to realize directly the unshakable, luminous, timeless, deathless element, Nibbana. It's called Nibbana, that which is transcendent of time, of death, of birth, coming and going. This is a dimension that we can realize, dimension of nature, of being. But it's not an ideal, it's not something we can think about or imagine, it's a direct realization. So as we put the factors and practice the activity of the path, then in the teaching it goes on to say that the fruit of that activity, which is this deeper realization of profound peace that we taste and bring into our lives, This arises organically, naturally, as an outcome of putting the right factors in place, as an outcome of the practice of the path. So if we think I have to get enlightened, then already we are in a place of wrong view, a place of stress. I have to do this thing. But if we start with beginning little by little to practice the factors that support awakening, then this organic unfolding begins to emerge. And the I that's doing it so much can take a bit of a back seat. You know, so today we start by continuing for many of us and establishing and beginning, for some of you beginning this practice, this very, in a way, it's a very simple application of this activity of the path. This is the activity of mindfulness, which simply means to be aware, to be present, to not just aware any old thing, but in this training, establishing mindfulness and awareness in relationship to what's immediately here within the field of our experience. So in this practice of mindfulness, in a way, it's beginning to go beneath the cognitive framework, the thinking mind, that creates the perception of me and you and world. And it goes more to the direct experience of what we call me and world. The experience that is available to us through awareness. The immediacy of awareness. I am aware of. There is this awareness of, in this case, the first foundation of mindfulness, which we'll start working with today. This is how it was originally taught. Thus have I heard. This is from the Satipatthana Sutta, the text called The Foundations of Mindfulness. Thus have I heard. This is the opening phrase for any sutta that is recorded from the words of the Buddha. Evang Sutang, which means thus have I heard. On one occasion, the Blessed One was living in the Kuru country at a town of the Kurus named Kamasadhamma. There he addressed the bhikkhus, his disciples, thus, "Bhikkhus, Venerable Sir," they replied. The Blessed One said this, "Bhikkhus, this is the direct path for the purification of beings, for the surmounting, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the disappearance of pain and grief, for the attainment of the true way, and for the realization of Nibbana, namely the four foundations of mindfulness." So in this opening paragraph, we have the Buddha being placed in relationship to a town he's visiting and a people he's visiting, a tribe, a group, the town of the Kurus named Kamasadhamma. And there he begins his conversation and his encouragement and his teaching to his disciples by saying, this is the direct path. In the original text, Ekayana Maga, so it can also, in an interesting way, means the path, the one path or direct path. It's a very direct path, immediate path of awakening. It's not a path that's dependent on a guru or a tradition or someone telling us. It's direct because it's dependent on us seeing directly and practicing directly. No one can really do it for us. It's not dependent on us believing something or even any rites and rituals that we might do. It's dependent on this direct insight. And also sometimes can be translated as the path, ekka, to oneness, to completion, to fullness, to awakening. And for the overcoming, the transformation of this fundamental agony and stress that human beings live within that is generated from our ignorance, from the ignorance of the mind, not really understanding the truth of something very simple, for example, like impermanence, that we grasp and we generate pain and grief and sorrow and despair. And yet, within the midst of this world, in the midst of our complexity of experience, there is always this Nibbana, Amata Dhatu, this element which is peaceful. So this, in a way, is a very profound template for the whole of the practice that opens the sutta, and then the Buddha goes on, what are these four spheres of mindfulness? We bring mindfulness to, first of all, the body, first sphere, body and breath, the second sphere, feelings, the third sphere, mind, and the fourth sphere, phenomena. This is in shorthand basically saying to everything we can experience, we are mindful of, we're present to. But beginning today with this first foundation. So how? So this is again the practicality of this teaching. Well, how do we do this? It's all very nice to hear about peace, but how do we lay the foundations for and the conditions for this insight to arise? So there he says, a disciple goes to a forest or a root of a tree or an empty hut. So in other words, withdrawing, this is the first practice that we do. It's called viveka. It means to withdraw from the usual preoccupations of the world, to take ourselves to a quiet space like we have here on this retreat. This is and at first it's called kaya viveka, meaning taking the body to a quiet space. But as the path develops and becomes more internalized, it becomes jitta viveka, being able to withdraw the mind from its habit of dwelling in suffering, dwelling in what the Buddha calls longing for something, grieving for what has happened, being disappointed in regards to the world. It didn't do what I wanted it to do. So this removing body and mind from, first of all, a relationship to the world that is based on suffering, longing, anxiety, grief, upset, disappointment. So we can practice this today. And one very simple way of practicing this that I'd like to encourage you to explore, which is this first skill of removing attention from a sphere of suffering to something that's more immediate, is to just ask the question, how is it now? What is present for you now? So when we begin a period of meditation, rather than how it should be, I should be peaceful and I should be floating on that pink cloud of mine, and instead I'm feeling a bit dull or restless, or my mind is resistant, and that's okay. You know, it's like, this is how it is. So how is it now? But that question does, it brings us into relationship with the reality of what we experience now, however it is. And then we can begin to work with that. It's very useful in our daily life as well. How is it now? And then just begin to work with how it is, even if it's not comfortable, and often it won't be, but it's workable. And then the next instruction, as we establish mindfulness, having removed our attention from the spheres of suffering, setting, as it said, finding your posture, sitting with your body straight, if you can, establishing mindfulness in front or in the heart, bringing awareness, right, as this means primary. So this is our primary task. This is the instruction of the sutta, making awareness primary, presence, attentiveness primary. In front, it says in front of one, but it means it's the most important thing. And then the practice, the disciple, ever mindful, breathes in. Mindful, he or she breathes out. Breathing in long, she understands, I breathe in long. Breathing out long, she or he understands, I breathe out long. So this is explained in different ways. I talk about the short and the long breath in this first factor of training. But one of our teachers explained it like this, which I think is probably the most practical, is that first of all establishing attention, kya, and then breathing in long means that we take that attention to feel the fullness of the whole breath. So the sensation, and this is where the practical application of the practice begins. We feel the breath, maybe at the nostrils, then it comes into the body, into the lungs and down into the belly, and we're feeling, or the attention is with that whole process of the breath. As you breathe in, you know you're breathing in, and then as you breathe out, you know because you're feeling the breath. And this can also, implied in this long breath, as you feel the fullness of the breath, the subtle energy of the breath as it moves within the body. The breath is that which vibrates, which moves, it's connected to the air element. So at first you feel the breath as very full, as that rhythm of the in-breath and the out-breath, the in-breath and the out-breath. But then as the mind becomes more refined, you might feel the breath as what's called the short breath, just as a subtle, your attention's pulled to a subtle vibration in the body. At the nostrils, at the chest, somewhere in the body. And you just feel, you're not following the whole pathway of the body, you just feel the subtle movement of the breath. So you can move between both, that subtle, just steadying the attention on one area within the body breath, or you can follow the whole pathway. Say if the mind's very busy, or you feel dull or restless, you might follow the whole pathway of the breath, as it gives you more to do. Mind likes something to do, gives you something to do. But then you might find there's really a lot of quietness inside, stillness, and so you don't want to move so much the attention. So then you might just rest gently, just to connect subtly, gently with your embodied present experience, somewhere within the internal experience of the sensation of movement. And then the last three aspects we'll start working with this morning. This is a little technical, but don't worry about capturing all the information, because essentially it's simple. It's just laying out the steps to give you a sense of entering into this practice. As we establish mindfulness within the breath, the Buddha continues by saying, he or she trains thus, I shall breathe in, experiencing the whole body. That's the first aspect. And then the second aspect, I shall breathe in, calming the whole body. So, Sabbakaya Pati Sangvedi in the Pali means the experiencing, it's feeling, it actually means it's not sitting outside and observing the body in a disassociated way, which is sometimes what people feel, But it's entering more deeply into the internal experience and feeling with the whole body. And at first we could say this is the physical body, the feeling body, the mental body, as it impacts into the physical body. So another way of saying this is we're breathing, feeling with our experience, all that's here and presents itself and touches our body, our sensitivity. So it's not trying to push something away or split ourselves or use a lot of will to crush our experience. But however we start with how it is, and then however it is, we're breathing with how it is, feeling how it is. And sometimes it's not so comfortable. We just continue working gently, breathing with how it is, breathing with how it is. And as that starts to deepen, then gently calming how it is, the sensation, the feeling tones, working just very gently with this placing of awareness and letting the awareness itself do the work. It's not that you're having to use a lot of will to create a special state, but as you bring awareness into the heart of your experience and you're willing to feel your experience, not push it away, and breathe into your experience, breathe with your experience, and use the breath to steady your attention, then little by little awareness itself starts to transform your experience. It's the alchemy of awareness. It transforms the nature of how you experience your body, your feelings, the phenomena of the mind. All becomes infused and gathered within the profound nature of the mind, which is awareness and presence. And this is very pleasant. This is the pleasure of meditation. And begins to open the pathway for insight. So to begin very simply, just to find, as the Buddha encouraged, having removed ourselves physically at least from the concerns of the world, to find a way of sitting that you feel comfortable with. This sense of the lengthening or the straightening through the spine without being rigid. Which allows the chest area, the heart area to open, and to allows the belly area to soften. So there's both this straightening and opening, but also relaxation in your posture. Whether it's the chair or whether you're sitting down, if you're not feeling very well, sometimes some people have to lay down. Just taking the posture that feels comfortable. And remembering we're approaching this practice with a lot of kindness towards ourselves and our experience, which means being very patient. And just first of all with the question, with removing our preoccupation with I want to go home, or I want to never go home, or it's all these problems I have to deal with in life. Just putting that to one side and just gently asking the question, how is it now? How is the body? How are you feeling? And it's like you're taking your attention a little more inward. And then however it is, then taking the breath into your experience, maybe taking a few deepening, longer breaths. Breathing in fully, Feeling the breath coming right down to the belly. And then as you breathe out, just relaxing through your body. And then as best as you can, just for the last short while of this sitting, encourage you to, it's probably helpful at the beginning of the retreat, just to stay with the long breath, which means as the breath becomes more normal in its pace, just with your attention, follow the experience of the breath. As you experience it as vibration and sensation as it enters the nostrils and expands down into the chest and the lungs and the sensation there and expands down on into the belly. And you might even feel subtly the breath energy as it moves through the arms and legs and the brain. And then following the sensation of the exhalation, the out-breath, the whole pathway. So let's just stay with that simplicity of the practice as best as you can, one breath at a time, breathing in, following the pathway, and then breathing out, steadying your attention with the simplicity of the breath while feeling your whole experience. And gently encouraging this calming of your experience. So throughout the day, we'll be alternating between the sitting and walking meditation. And the same, we'll take the same principles we've been using in the sitting meditation into walking. And this is part of in the foundations of mindfulness, as the progression of the integration of the practice continues, the Buddha encourages that one who acts in full awareness, a practitioner or a bhikkhu is one who acts in full awareness when going forward and returning, who acts in full awareness when looking ahead and looking away, when moving limbs, when wearing clothes, robes, when eating, drinking, consuming food, when defecating, urinating, when walking, standing, sitting, falling asleep, waking up, talking, and keeping silent. In this way, one abides contemplating the body within the body, internally, as well as externally, not clinging to anything in the world. So beginning more, just that's in a way the graduation of, as the practice moves out into spheres of all of our life, but in this retreat very simply beginning with this integrative practice of really being able to be aware, present, mindful, whether sitting or walking, and then of course in everything else that we're doing. So the walking meditation has a traditional form, and some of you may have learnt it in slightly different ways. Please feel free to use whatever feels comfortable for you, what you've learnt, or if you want to adjust to explore the style I'm just going to show you now. And this goes right back to the time of the Buddha when he taught this practice himself and has made a lot of, as in many ways in those days, as is until this time, that the Buddha's disciples, particularly in the monastic school, spend a lot of time walking. Walking in forests, walking from town to town. So this is, and each of us walk, perhaps not as much as people of old. We jump in our cars, so in the mindfulness of driving, but still the walking meditation is a very beautiful meditation because it's quite, it's with working with movement, but it's, there's something about it that's very grounding. It's walking backwards and forwards. So the form is to find your walking path. We have lots of space here. You can find it on one of the pathways, or if you want to go in the back area of the kibbutz, there's you can walk directly on the land, which is also very nice, sometimes with your bare feet. And to take a pathway of about 20 to 30 paces, steps. I'll show you just now, but just to explain a little bit. In the walking, again, as we did with the sitting, to begin, how is it now? Keep using this question to come back to work with what you're with, as feeling, as sensation, as mood. And then whatever's present, establishing mindfulness with the breath, and then continuing that within the breath and within being mindful or aware of the sensation of the body moving. You might also localize your attention on a particular place where you feel the sensation of moving. Sometimes it's encouraged at the soles of the feet, for example, where you touch the ground. It's a good place where you can feel a sensation of touching. But not to move away from the breath as you're moving. Keep trying to stay with the centrality of being with breathing within movement. Breathing, moving, stepping, it's all happening really within awareness. So it's not walking to get somewhere, but walking to be more present, more here.